strong in the bowl, who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years. This one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers. 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 30, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never wait until the last
time.
And welcome back to Richmond Tiger Talk. My name's Nick.
And I'm Andy.
And Andy, so the Tigers are 4-2. I think we're into equal third on the betting for the Premiership. We've got Tom Lynch is second in the betting for the Coleman Medal. Jack Ross is third in the betting for the Rising Star. Our VFL team's second in the betting for the Premiership. And all I want to talk about is Sydney Stack.
That's fair. I think, you know, there's a lot of reasons to keep expectations realistic about Sydney Stack and realise what a big challenge it is and how far he has to go. And I think any of attempts to sort of play down Sydney Stack and at least keep a lid on it are lying as crumpled and broken on the MCG turf as Jack Viney's body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I've got a serious quote, Sydney Stack question, Nick, and I've been thinking about this all the time, but I've been dying for the show to start so I can bring it up with you. Mention this on Twitter as well. Okay, I think fundamentally, Sydney Stack's greatest moment was the Jack Viney hit, which, you know, ended Melbourne's season.
It was perfect.
Loved how much Jack Viney skid along the graph after he got hit. Just perfect in every way. And
the look afterwards, admiring his work, I really enjoyed that too.
But what was your second favourite Sydney Stack moment of the game? This is a really, this is an important issue to me because I've thought about this one quite a lot.
It's crazy to say it, but I think I enjoyed the barrel torpedo just an inch more than the Specky.
Thank you. Yes, I agree. Because lots of people can, it was a good hanger. Absolutely.
Yeah, very solid.
But lots of people take hangers. Not everyone on the spur of the moment, not in a kick out, not in a shot of goal, but in general play on the spur of the moment, unleashes a torpy, hits it, pretty much lands it. I mean, it wasn't a perfectly tight spiral, but it, you know, it went the 65 meters.
Good.
Yeah. And it was actually exactly the right thing to do. Like he used the torpy in exact perfect situation, pulled it off. And how often does that happen in AFL in general play? Almost, and he was under heavy pressure. Almost never. I just, you know.
Dusty's is the last one that I can think of.
Yeah, and that was a beautiful. And that's Dustin Bloody Martin having a transcendent season. You know, this is a player just starting. I mean, he is, I'm not sure he's human. I think he's in someone constructed in a laboratory of scientists have, after years of research, they've done, they've looked at the different parts of footballs that make you a fan favourite, and they've sort of assembled this machine that is Sydney Stack. You know, achieves above his draft position, hits hard.
his non-existent draft position.
Yeah, creative with his hands, clean, kicks barrels, takes hangers, good in front of goals. You know, he's taking his few shots in front of goals. What's not to love?
Went at 100% disposal efficiency.
Yeah, I just cool. You know, disadvantaged backstory. Does quirky things. And you know, my only fear now is that, you know, he flies too high and the sun burns him. But God, I'm loving it now.
Yeah, it's a real. We've said it before, it's a tribute to the culture of the club, and there's been a number of media articles. You know, one that had recruiters saying that, you know, we didn't have the resources to take the risk, and, you know, thankfully Richmond did. You know, there's also, I mean, there's a bit of a, perhaps not surprisingly, the Herald Sun did a bit of a hatchet job on, you know, questioning his IQ and his ability to hold down a job, which frankly felt a bit too far. But look, yeah, he's the toast of the town, and he's a young kid from a really tough background. So, yeah, there's plenty of challenges for him to come. But, look, the recruiting staff, we'll talk about it more, actually, both with the seniors, with the VFL, and with the AFLW. The recruiters are travelling pretty nicely at the moment.
They had a good off-season. I will say, I think the best thing on Sydney Stack I've heard or listened to was the Peter Simic interview, which was very real, sort of pointed out some of the problems with him, how much he'd liked him, but also why he suspended him. And I think that's good, because I think it goes more to the heart of the footballer and the past and future challenges with him. But, you know, there'll be a lot written about him, especially if he keeps, you know, performing so well on the big stage.
And yet, I'm probably more outraged that Jack Ross didn't get the Rising Star nomination this week.
I loved his game.
He is, watching the game on replay is very kind to, because, I don't know, I'm probably like a lot of people that when you're watching the game live, it's really hard to sort of see exactly what's going on with the inside midfielders. But there's a lot to like when you sort of slow the play down and just see him thinking his way through situations.
Yeah, I mean, he was ranked next to Dusty at the top of the sort of midfield rating, our fifth best player on the night. But like, he's so young, and he's got 28 possessions, and what was it, 12 contested possessions. Mm. He just continues to do...
Eight score involvements.
Yeah, exactly. Like, important touches. Like, he's become this midfield mainstay, which we so desperately needed after Cochin went down. He's actually sort of, we haven't missed a beat.
Mm. Yeah, and the cleanness of the possession, I thought it was a bit more of a four-quarter effort, like he ran out the game.
Yeah.
Better than he has in some others. Which it may have also been Melbourne not running out the game.
By the way, I was wrong about it. He only had seven contested possessions, but, you know, other than that, it was very active.
Yeah, he covered a lot of turf. And Jack Higgins as well, 25 disposals in midfield, like missing Cochin. I'm impressed he's playing pretty well, but Dusty so-so. But yeah, it really didn't matter against... a team that is a really good contested ball winning team.
So as has been was pointed out in the commentary and now by the club today, you know, we had the five youngest players on the pitch, which is many ways a credit to Melbourne's ability to achieve elderly mediocrity.
They've traded away three first round draft picks recently on there to get their key defenders in Lever and May, neither of which got on the pitch. So,
having your key defenders injured must have been debilitating for them. These players we're talking about, you know, Ross, Higgins, Baker, which we hadn't mentioned yet, but I'm sure we're getting to, and Sydney Stagg, they were four of the five youngest players, all of which were in our better half.
Mm.
These guys aren't filling out the bottom of the roster. To go to your point, the recruiting staff, and they're all guys recruited in the last 2 years. Recruiting staff are looking fantastic.
We'll get to when we talk about the Bulldogs. In our hearts, we miss Sammy Lloyd and the others we trade away, but in practical terms on the field, not so much.
No, in practical terms and salary cap terms, we don't. We'll talk about them later. So, Nick, the game as a whole...
It was often frustrating.
You know, it was one of those games I loved it in hindsight because of some of the reasons we've already discussed. But during the game, it was incredibly frustrating. And, you know, not to be forgotten, the scores were almost tied halfway through the third quarter. And it was just... I couldn't believe Melbourne was so defensive. It was like they were a team that was completely outmatched. Now, I haven't seen the rest of the Melbourne games this year, but it was such a ridiculously defensive game plan, and they were just playing to sort of grind it out, force us to take crappy shots, then get a bit of luck in front of goal. You know, they were basically playing to keep it close till the end and then sort of sneak a victory, which to me is ridiculously defensive. I mean, you know, it's not like we're the 2001 Essendon team where we were, you know, twice this year we've been blown off the park. And they played so defensively, and the worst thing about it was for a while it looked like the strategy might actually work.
Yeah, they were playing to sort of keep things close.
Exactly.
And it did work into the last quarter. Like, in the last quarter, it felt like they were incapable of getting the ball past halfway partly because of, you know, the red wall in Nick Vlostone and Basha Hooley as his sidekick. But, yeah, that was really underwhelming.
I mean, you can't, like, we had more disposals than, and we almost never win the disposal counts. We had 29 more inside 50s. Now, they were playing a game plan to lose the inside 50s, but I mean, you can't lose by that much.
No.
But it was for a long time, you know, there was a couple of thoughts. They hit a couple of shots early. There's one or two shots we could have hit, they were 50-50s, but you know, part of the problem was we couldn't break them down, and I was sitting there thinking, oh, I wish Bolton had played, he would have helped break them down. And then suddenly, but the thing was, even in the first quarter where the commentators talked it up, that how Melbourne were playing well and competitively, in the last 5 minutes, actually, of the last quarter, when I was rewatching, I noticed the pressure game was already on. Like,
yep.
The way they were playing with the, you know, so afraid to go quickly. It was just, we were already suffocating them, and it just became the theme for the night.
17-3 in inside 50 tackles. That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, the big number there is the 3 in some ways, but it was just, it was almost ludicrous how much that was an exact example of what was made, you know, the 2018, you know, I think that's very much a 2018 Richmond team game rather than 2017 game.
Yeah. And look, Tom McDonald's no joke either as a key forward or a key back. And yeah, look, in some ways it was encouraging for us to win with Tom Lynch doing very little and Jack off injured. Like, you know, leading, nobody had more shots at goal for us than George Castagna, and frankly that's a recipe for frustration rather than success often, but yeah, it didn't matter.
He did actually eventually hit a few shots, thank goodness. But
yeah, he did. I think it was something, he had 2 disposals midway through the third quarter, but yeah, so he got his game going eventually.
Yeah, actually, funny, on the internet, a few people said that he's best ever game for the club, which I think is one of the most overrated phrases. But you know, he has had a 4-goal game and a 23 possession game as well. So yeah,
Has Lossie had a better game than that?
That was, and because you know he started on Petrarca, so I mean that's, and he kicked his ass. So
when you think Petrarca's on really good money, like $700,000-$800,000 a year.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So he's had a long career and had some pretty special games, but I think actually the case for that being his best game is pretty good.
Yeah, it's extremely difficult for me to. He either got 9 or 10 coaches' votes, but yeah, best on ground for me.
Yeah, and also career highlights and disposals, but you know, playing quality. When you consider, you know, didn't have Rance, you know, wasn't playing Robin to anyone. He was sort of he was the man. The case
and
is
and no
strong.
Asprey for a while as well. And although part of it was a tribute to the versatility of our defence, that we didn't need to play Bolter as a back when Asprey went down, but also because Melbourne's attack just felt so popgun.
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. They made us look like the 1985 Chicago Bears as a sort of impenetrable defense. By the way, his 14 intercepts was one off his career high of 15. So, I think that's when you also have career high disposal and was playing on a very good opponent. I think that's a pretty good case.
Mm. Basher is leading the team in average disposals per game.
Yeah, really important. When Shorty's out, you need sort of starting to come to the position that you need one of him or Short, and they work best playing solo. But thank God one of them's fit at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because Short's Jaden had an injury update today on the club website, and yeah, Jaden Short didn't rate a mention, so yeah, still going to be a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sean Greig, by the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah, really struggling there. Liam Baker. I touched on him before. It was a pretty tidy game, I thought.
Yeah, advanced ratings love him because he creates a lot of shots. I think he's the most two-sided player I can think of in the modern era.
Yeah, he stuck some tackles, which is good. Like, he still had a few trademark, if he had an extra gear of speed, he'd get a lot more pressure on guys, but yeah, he nailed some tackles, which is good.
Yeah, he nailed some tackles, becoming more and more important in the offensive with ball in hand. Butts is okay in the VFL, but he's, you know, there's two much more highly credentialed, there's one who was a second round draft pick and there's another one who was a premiership player in the VFL, and he sort of nailed that coffin tight. They're not taking his spot. I mean, he's become, once again...
He's not... Look, the pressure's on that position, which is great.
And it's a good position, as we've discussed, it's a good position to have competition in, because you got to work so hard. Second game in a row, he's been in our top 5 or 6 rated players.
Yeah, yeah, really. Really liked his game. I thought Presti was busy without being outstanding. Dusty. Dusty was fine, I thought, but without ever setting the world on fire. But...
So, Dusty, I agree with that, going to be very sensitive. I'm reading reading some internet forums about Dusty. I realise that, Rich, you've got to be careful about talking about him, because I think he's close to godlike supporters amongst Richmond after 2017.
Yeah.
I just wish...
Including our kids.
Yes. I just wish occasionally his defence would be a little bit less... You know, it's one thing to judge him, okay, he's not best on ground, he's okay, he's a top-played player, well, you know, such is life, that happens. And someone has to be your best-played player. I just wish occasionally his defensive efforts were... And he does make them occasionally. He got a hold on the ball on the weekend. But occasionally, they're so obviously bad. I just wish he wouldn't do that. I wish he wouldn't sit on his horn, put his hands on his knees when the other team has the ball. He doesn't do it all the time, but just sometimes you just think, you know, sort of on a team that's built on pressure, you know, Dusty, at least, you know, make it look like you're trying, because it was all right when you're not doing much defensively when you were like you was in 2017 and 2018, sort of right at the top of the score involvements chart. But right now he's like 25th in the AFL, like 24th or something on score involvements per game. Like, it's all right, but you know, if you're coming back to earth, you got to do a bit more of the hard yards.
He was fourth on the team in pressure acts. I do.
Yeah,
but it's not always consistent, which is the frustrating
thing. And obviously so. It's still, obviously, it goes with all the proviso that he's still a great player.
Absolutely.
But if you're not special, you need to do a bit more of the hard work. You need to be a bit more like everyone else.
Yeah. Higgins, Baker, and Ross. And actually, Sydney Stack. All pretty good for pressure acts. So how much would we have won by if we had Max Gawn?
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? It's part of the thing is that you have this Melbourne team that have you know, he's, Max Gordon's currently rated top five in the AFL. Unbelievable, was giving us fits all night. And on top of that, they have some good midfielders, and yet they still were acting like they were the, you know, a young team with no talent. But yeah, point taken. He's an incredible player. And we had no answers for him. At one point, I was thinking we had Jack and Lynch on the field at the same time, and we still managed to kick to Gorn. Like, how hard is it to, you lead this way, I'll lead the other way, and let's kick it to the guy who Gorn is not near. Anyway. Yeah, it's easy from the stands.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of that. Noel Bolter wasn't on the ground a lot, even in a game where we had an injury to a key position player. So I don't think we're going to drop him, particularly with Jack's injury, but yeah, he's still finding his way.
Yes, and of course he does a couple of good things. But yeah, I'd agree. Like the him for, well, actually, he'll come in probably, Shay will probably come in for, Jack. Yeah. That makes sense, attacking for attacking, but yeah, maybe even Towner could come in for Bolter. I don't know.
I'm team keep him in.
Bolter?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like,
I just like the look of him as, of backup rock, particularly as there's no, you know, Tom Lynch is the alternative, and I'm just still not ready for that yet.
I don't think you can do it also when he's your only key forward. It's just too much of a sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, I quite like the idea. I've done a 180 on Jack doing it, but yeah. I take your point. And he's fun to have on the team.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So that was Melbourne. Glad not to be them. I mentioned about the
Sydney Stackers change. By the way, I'm impressed here. I agreed. Like, I didn't mind his game at all. After 3 weeks, sort of 3 weeks ago, being quite worried about him. He's now just done two games where he's been the blue collar guy who's really put the midfield on his back and done a lot of hard yards, and I really like that.
I'm glad, you know, we needed him to step up with Cochin out. Yeah, and he has. So, yeah. Just thinking about finishing off on Noah Bolter. So, the Bulldogs have Jackson Trengrove as their backup ruck, who's not, I mean, his whole thing is that he's not completely terrible at anything. Yeah, so I think we have to play somebody who's vaguely competent. And, yeah, Bolter at least is that in the ruck. I mean, he got torched by Gorn, as you would expect. But, yeah, no, I'd keep him in.
Yeah, I think we should mention that Brando was quite competent. You know, only 22 disposals, but that 8 tackles. You know, he's never going to be a contested player beast, but... He's on the AFL tracker. He's almost always our top running player. And you get 8 tackles. You know, you're putting in, you're doing some hard work. It's funny though, I put a vaguely complimentary thing about him on, Twitter, and, he's a pretty divisive figure amongst Richmond fans.
Yeah, isn't he?
Yeah.
For a premiership player.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, I was thinking about this when I was sort of halfway through the third quarter when, George was our lack of cut through, and I was thinking we should have had Bolton playing, and sort of the perpetual debate about, you know, not a lot of people have mixed feelings about George. This current team, even like, I'm sort of none of the selections annoy me one tenth as much as
the Steve Morris
phase. Sort of Morris Newman as a forward phase. Like, you know, even. I completely get Castagna. Even when he frustrates me, I understand why they're playing him. And Ellis. Ellis, you know, I know he frustrates a lot of people, and I completely get it, but I also think he's a really useful journeyman.
Yeah, and he's been good. He's been good the last few weeks. Anything else from the seniors?
No, I think overall, I was just so excited at the game afterwards, because of, Stack, which is, it's sort of a bit of a shame he stole the show. And, but, you know, part of me was disappointed on Thursday. My main disappointment was it was going to be a full 10 days before we got to see Sydney Stack play football again.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned about Bolton. So he went back to the VFL. We won our third game out of three. He had 25 disposals, kicked a goal, had 11 tackles. That's a really good way to respond.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, he may never be a guy who gets 35 in the VFL, but 11 tackles and one goal. I'd love to know what his advanced ratings were, because you suspect if Bolton's getting 25 touches that you're doing pretty well. And it was apparently the conditions were terrible at Casey, just sort of rubbing salt into the Melbourne supporters' wounds that they had to go out to that far northern oval and stand on a windswept oval and watch their team lose by a point. So, yeah,
Yeah, like 52-51.
Yeah, exactly. So, to excel in those conditions, I think, is a great sign, and I'm massively on the he's got upside. You know, what we need his creative genius to go to another level as a team. So I'm so happy and bang the drum. Apparently, his omission, it was a 2-hour debate at selection.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is, you know...
Casey's also in the southeast of Melbourne as well.
Oh, really? Sorry.
Yeah, I've never been either. Yeah. The VFL, you know, tough win, mentioned about how the recruiters are feeling, so we mentioned about Bolton... Naish had 25 disposals again, putting together a really consistent, much more consistent season in the VFL so far.
If Uli wasn't playing so well, I reckon he wouldn't be far from a game.
Yeah, no, definitely so. Riley Collier-Dawkins, 18 disposals, 7 tackles, listed as our second best player, and both Menadue and Townsend playing well as well. That's really good.
And Soldo appeared to have perfectly respectable numbers. So, yeah, a lot to like there. Sadly,
yeah, Garthwaite played quite well as well.
I would have liked CCJ to come Coleman-Jones to do a
bit more. Too.
But, I think that's nitpicking because overall, sort of the guy you'd probably most want to have been in best of ground was.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would have thought it's a pretty short conversation about bringing him back this week. There's nobody else a chance from injury. Bulldogs are a really good team in midfield. Would seem like a pretty obvious choice, I would have thought.
Yeah, and you'd wonder whether the sort of the Etihad would suit him.
I think it's at the MCG.
No, it's at Etihad.
Yeah. I don't know. I think they're better at Etihad. Alright, it is.
Yeah, no, but it might. The smaller ground might suit Bolton because massive tank is not his strength.
Good in the phone box.
Yeah, very so, good. For a small guy, he's the guy you want in a phone box.
Yeah. So, getting on. Well, actually, before we talk about... Well, let's talk about the Bulldogs, but let's firstly talk about... mentioned about how well the recruiters are doing. Because of the slightly weird way, perhaps more than weird way, the AFLW's been set up, despite us already having picked up several All-Australian players, because we'd signed the least number of free agents of any team... of any of the expansion teams, we got given the number one pick in the draft, which we promptly traded for yet another All-Australian in Monique Conti, who is a gun midfielder to go with all the gun forwards we've signed so far.
You do wonder, sort of, the AFL, you know, someone with a basic background and sort of complexity would say, if you make these really complex rules that someone's going to work out how to game them, like the simpler the you make them, the easier you make it on yourself in implementing these rules. But anyway, we've clearly worked out how to game the rules, so
yeah.
Good for us.
Look, Neil Baum and Kate Sheehan in their press conferences could hardly look more smug.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we'll see. See how it all works in practice.
Yeah, but yeah, in terms of how well it's gone so far, it's, look, I'm interested. I really like them to sign some of the VFLW players, which I'm sure is coming. Just haven't got to that yet, but yeah, Monique Conti's extremely good player. Literally, Australian national team level basketball player as well, including a world champion under 17 basketball player. So
yeah,
she's a pretty serious athlete.
And good last year, not sort of one of these good a couple of years ago, hoping they can get it back once.
Yeah. So the Bulldogs. We love Sammy Lloyd.
We do.
These truths we hold to be self-evident. He's also the Bulldogs' leading goal kicker.
Yeah. And he's still the player he was for Richmond.
Yeah. So their midfield really does worry me a lot. Like, Bontempelli's second in the AFL Coaches Award. Lockie Hunter wins a ton of ball. Wallace and Liberatore are playing better. McRae
is actually their top rated one of all those at the moment.
Yeah, McRae also wins a lot of ball. Caleb Daniel made the AFL ratings team of the week off half back in a Shane Edwards like performance. That part of the team is genuinely good, and I think quite possibly better than ours. And the defence is more solid than you would think. Like, they've got some decent players there, including obviously the captain, but Johannesson's pretty good. Bailey Williams, not bad, but the attack. Yeah, the attack is not very good.
And their form gives no reason to be inspired.
We are not overwhelming favourites. We're four goal favourites, which is good, but it's not overwhelming. We really should win this.
Yeah, and I'm less worried. I know you weren't so keen on Marvel, but actually I think the sort of the days of us not playing well there are a little bit over. You know, we've sort of been respectable there our last few years. In the current game plan iteration. So I'm actually, I'm fairly confident about this game, but, as previously pointed out, you have five guys who are actually playing key roles who are not carrying the team, but are doing a lot of the key things. Well, sorry, for those young guys, they're going to be inherently variable in their output. That's one of the beauty of talented youth is that they do things that surprise you. The downside of talented youth is they're not yet 25 and produce exactly the same thing every week. On the other hand, Nick, we've won four games this year without Dusty having an all-world performance. You know, Dusty rips out one of his classical midfield games, and like you add that to how we're already outputting, and I think we win by 40 points.
Yeah, and you think about how little we've got from Jack Riewoldt this year. Cochin's been missing for a lot of the time. Certainly hasn't gone to plan.
But as we've discussed offline, the Jack thing really matters because we need to make it work, because him and Lynch haven't had enough time yet to work out the chemistry. But I don't think and we need that upside to win finals, but I don't think missing Jack really affects our finals chances this week, our chances of winning this week, because this team knows how to win with one key forward.
just, to say the least.
Yeah, and we're bringing in an attacking player who would probably be playing on, I don't know, what do you reckon, 16 of last week? Bolton would have played on, what, 16 of the 18 AFL clubs?
Yeah, I reckon so. He's got a lot of tricks in the bag. And, yeah, it'd be nice to see him have a really consistent crack at it. Because, yeah, as you say, about just thinking about how we maximise the potential of the team. Yeah, he's part of that story.
Yeah, and the team is just so up and about right now. I don't know, I'm sounding far too confident. I'm worrying myself now.
I know. Well, the replays have been really fun to watch. Right?
And the pressure's just there. Like, you just watch it. It's not something you can fake. It's not something that, you know, relies on kicking beautiful running goals that can suddenly go in Australia on you. It's just, we just destroyed Melbourne yet last week.
Mm. Yeah, look, I reckon we'll get a tougher go from the Bulldogs. I reckon I'll get more nervous about it closer to the game. But, yeah, right now, pretty confident. Yeah, and then off to Perth to play a Dockers team will be no pushover.
And by the way, the Bulldogs were quite respectful in the last game. And but, you know, coming back from Western Australian trip, I'm pretty confident.
10-day break for us. Yeah, we should win.
Agreed.
I'm Nick.
I'm Andy.
We're Richmond Tiger Talk.
For the strong and the bold who have been taunted and traumatised for over 37 years, this one is for you. Richmond, yes, Richmond, our premiers, 5:13 p.m. on Saturday, September 13, 2017, is officially Tiger Time.
We never weaken till the last time.
Celebration of all good things Richmond right now.
Nothing there,
we. Makes rants.
He's never not going to go, was he? Was he?
Oh, what a pick up from Cotchin. Left foot snap. The goal of the game.
Trent, Dimmer and Brendan Gale deserve all credit. They've built something fantastic and they just got to keep riding away.
Martin, 3 votes.